Okay. I want to pick up really just on what has happened this morning and what God is going to be doing for the rest of the morning. I'm not going to share what I was going to share, but I do want to find out
a particular slide, which is probably the next one. This one will do.
Okay. Picking up on the scripture that was talked about earlier, I want to share that with you. While we were worshipping and while we were crying out and shouting out to God, I had a picture, and the picture I had was of this building, and it was on fire. There was flames coming out of the building, and there were people at the front with big hoses of water trying to put it out. And I thought, well, that makes sense. But then in the picture I then saw that other people took over the hoses that were firing water onto it, and they actually decided to put petrol in there rather than water, so the actual flames got higher and more accelerated. And the enemy always wants to stop what God is doing. Always. He's a robber, he's a thief, he's a destroyer, so he wants to stop what God's doing. So when we're looking to press in, when God's got a plan, when people have heard God prophetically and they speak it out, often there's opposition. Because when you speak the word out, you've spoken it out for people to hear and to respond to and to resonate with, but also the enemy hears it. Of course, when the enemy hears what God's plans are, his strategy is to stop those plans. So, you know, the enemy will always try and pour water onto what God wants to have on fire. But God's desire, obviously, is that those flames get hotter and hotter, the fire gets greater and greater. And I feel it's like when we face difficulties and opposition, we've got a choice. We can go with the opposition and say, well, that can't be God then, or that's a bit too hard, or I can't press in onto that because it's just too much opposition. Or we can do what we did this morning. We can stand together in agreement and we can praise God anyway and praise God through it, because God inhabits the praises of his people. We enter his courts with thanksgiving, and his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. When we praise in spite of the circumstances, God breaks through. It enables us to break through. It enables us to push through the opposition and to start declaring to the obstacles and the mountains that are in our way to get out of the way. Jesus said, you can speak to the mountains and tell them to be cast into the sea. Now, those mountains can be mountains or obstacles to what God wants to do in a meeting. They can be mountains or obstacles to what God wants to do in our lives. But we have to speak to them, and we have to praise God in spite of the circumstances. In James it says, count it all joy when you encounter various types of trials or tribulations or troubles. Now that doesn't sound very joyful, does it? Troubles, tribulations, doesn't sound very joyful. But actually it's the reality that when the enemy does something, God can turn it around for good. God can bring good out of any situation if we praise him in it. I'm not saying we praise him for it, because if it's something that's an obstacle, we don't praise him for the obstacle. We praise him in the situation that we're in. We need to praise him in those situations, because that enables the presence of God to inhabit us. And for when Jesus comes and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes in our situations, our heart starts to change. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, it says in Nehemiah. Now, that doesn't just mean physical strength, it means in strength in every way. So when we start to praise, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, to praise always, to rejoice always. Now, always is in every situation and circumstance, isn't it? You can't say, well, okay, in this one I'll praise God, but that one's a bit too difficult, so I won't. It's in every situation that when we start to praise God, it empowers God to come in and cause the breakthrough. It enables us to break through. And it's like when we face those things, it's like we always have a choice. There's always a choice of how we respond to a situation. You know, we don't have to respond and sort of say, oh, well, can't have been God's will then. Because whenever we seek to do something in the prophetic realm, there's always going to be opposition. You know, someone once, I think it was Graham Cook, who's a prophetic guy, basically said, for every level there's a devil. Because when we go to a new level, we have to defeat and overcome the obstacles that are there. Yeah, there is a spiritual realm in which we live in, because we live as dual people. We live in the realms of the heavens and we live in the realm of the earth. We've got a physical body, we've also got a spirit, who has enabled us to actually live in two realms. That's what Adam did, what Jesus did, operated in those two realms. We have a choice of what realm we're going to look at to bring into this realm. We can accept the circumstances and the situations around us, or we can actually say, what does God say? What is the heavenly perspective? Where am I going to look at this situation from God's perspective? Because it changes. When you look at it from God's perspective, the situation changes. Because you see it from a position of victory, a position of where we're overcomers, where we can defeat every situation that we face. So when we have situations like this morning, it was excellent how we responded to those situations, that situation this morning. It's what God would want. It's to not sit around and mope, but actually get up and start fighting. Start pressing in, start praising God, start looking for the breakthroughs, start pushing the enemy out. Where the enemy is sought to occupy, we're going to push him out. You know, you see, look at the breakthroughs that they had in the Old Testament when they were looking for battles. You know, in the Jericho, there's a massive city, a massive stronghold, which was impossible to bring down. It was, the walls were so thick they drove chariot races on top of it. That's how thick the walls were. And yet God's people obeyed him, walked around 13 times, and all they did was shout out and blow trumpets, and the whole ground opened up and swallowed those walls up. Completely. So they walked in and took the city. Now think of that, about every stronghold in your own life, every situation you're looking to change, every area that you want to break through in, whether it's for health or healing or breaking through in addictions or patterns of thinking or behavioural patterns, whatever the patterns are, those strongholds will come down when we come from a perspective of praise. Because when we count it all joy that we're facing a situation that we're going to be overcomers in, and we praise God in it, God changes us in that situation. He matures us, he enables us to grow, he enables us to become the overcomers that we are. So I want to just encourage you in those things. Don't think just because there's opposition that means it isn't God's will. Because the enemy will always oppose, and we need to break through, and we need to learn to break through. But I want to just pick up on the whole thing of strongholds and the way we think about ourselves. I was, I've shared a little bit of this before in terms of when I was a position where God took me into the heavenlies and showed me thrones of opposition. Four thrones he showed me. I know there are others, but there were four he showed me. That there are thrones that we should be occupying in the heavenlies to release the blessing of God, to release healing and health, to release freedom from all addictions, and to release harmony and unity. And the enemy was seeking to occupy those thrones with a poverty spirit, with a spirit of infirmity, with a spirit of addiction, and in the other one, a spirit of conflict or divisiveness. And I saw this in the heavenly realms, and I saw thrones. But I saw above that other thrones that were higher than that. Ultimately, the throne of heaven, where God is seated, is the highest authority. Jesus was raised above all principalities, powers, thrones, and everything that there is. He's above it all. He's in charge. So when we're actually from the perspective where we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places, we see things from a totally different perspective, from God's perspective. So we look down on the situation. Now, some of you have had those experiences where you've been to heaven, where you've had heavenly encounters, where you've started to see through the sea of glass which is in front of the throne of God, and you can see through some of the things that are going on there. God showed me a picture of that quite a long time ago, and I actually saw how the different perspective is from heaven and on earth. And God wants us to recognize the perspective that he's given us from his perspective, his truth. Strongholds are always lies of the enemy. They're never the truth. We may believe them, but they're not the truth. We may think they're true, but they're not the truth. Because God's truth is ultimate. And it's above everything here. And therefore, when we're dealing with a stronghold, we're bringing heaven's truth to bear on the truth that we may have had for all of our lives, and it will change. Because when you confront lies with the truth, the lies have to bow to the truth. But sometimes you have to hit them over and over and over again. Graham's got downstairs in the prayer room a sledgehammer. A literal sledgehammer. I've not been in there when he's been wielding it, but you might have to duck a bit. But the reality of is when you have strongholds, you have to use a sledgehammer. The Bible says that the Word of God is a hammer that we can use to demolish strongholds. Okay? Now, for strongholds to be demolished, we have to recognize they're in our lives. It's like, and that's the hardest thing. It sounds that really simple. It's not simple to recognize a stronghold, because it's a pattern of thinking that we've always had. We might have had it from a child. We might have always thought that way about ourselves. Well, I'm no good. I'm unworthy. I'll never make it. You know, I'm useless. I'm hopeless. Because we've been told that, because it's been reinforced by what people have said to us. And that's just one aspect of strongholds. There are all sorts of strongholds that operate in our lives, patterns of thinking and behaviour which have been set up around a lie, and it defends the lie. So if someone says to you, oh, you're wonderful, you're excellent, that is brilliant what you did, and you struggle to receive that, that is evidence of a stronghold. It's an evidence that you cannot receive the truth. It's like when God speaks to us through the Word, when you read the Word of God and it talks about the promises of God, it talks about the blessings of God, it talks about what God's inheritance is in His children, and you just feel, well, that's not for me. I'm not good enough for that. I'm not worthy enough for that. That is a stronghold. And those strongholds will keep us from the blessings and the truth and the promises of God, because they will disqualify us from receiving the truth. And there are all sorts of different ways of thinking that we have that don't line up with the Word of God. And those strongholds need demolishing. Because Deb's picture was, they're like chains around us. They restrict us and they hold us in to a set pattern. They become a prison around us that stop us being who God called us to be. Now, when God starts to speak to us, and we know God speaks to us, He speaks to us through His Word, through prophetic pictures, when people prophesy over us, that word needs to confront the strongholds. You know, and we have to be willing to open up our lives and say, God, confront the strongholds in me. Confront the strongholds in my thinking, in my emotions, the patterns of behavior which don't line up with you. Now, this scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with an unveiled face. Now, this is in reference to Moses, who had a veiled face when he came out of the presence of God. We haven't got a veiled face any longer. We can come right into, the veil's been split in two, the very presence of God is open for us to come in and actually encounter God intimately and personally on a one-to-one basis. So we, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So what do you see when you look into a mirror? Reflection of who? Yourself, exactly. But when you look in the mirror of God's Word, the truth, you actually see who God says you are. What's reflected in the Word is a reflection of who God says you are. So when you look into a mirror and you see that God says you're wonderful, that you're His son, that you're an overcomer, that you inherit all the promises of God, that you are more than a conqueror, all those things that the Word of God says, and there are hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of promises, all the I ams in Scripture that says who you are, all the since I ams, we've got whole lists of them. You know, if you need a list, we can give you a list of who the Bible says you are, your identity as a son of God, as a child of God, as one who has inherited all the promises of God. The Bible says it. When we look, we see a reflection of what God says we are, who we are as His Son. And then that enables us to be transformed. Because we look at ourselves and we see us as we are. We see us with warts and all. We see us with the problems, because we know the problems and the struggles we've got. But as we see what God says about us, we can be transformed into the same image. from glory to glory. So in other words, it's a process, one step after another. Every time I say yes to God, when I read in God's word what he says about me, and I say, yes, that's me, I receive that, that's who I am, that's my identity, I am God's son, I'm a king, a son of the king, I've been called and chosen and appointed to bear abundant fruit in my life, I'm called to do the works that Jesus did and greater works, I've been called to be a son of the living God. That enables me to change that one degree, one step into more into the image of who I am in that picture. Now, the problem is that we often look at the Word of God and we don't believe what we see. So it's like looking in a mirror and actually rejecting the reflection that you get back. Because when we look in a mirror, what do we tend to see? The bits you don't like. Ladies, how many of you like looking into mirrors? Come on, be honest. A few of you, not many of you are putting your hands up. Guys, how many of you like looking into mirrors? we won't go quite there where that might go at the right of the minute. But the reality is, it's that when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we need to be able to receive what we see. James 1:3 talks about another mirror. If anyone is a hearer of the Word of God and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, for once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. See, we can look into a mirror, and if we don't become doers of what it says, if we don't take hold of what it says and apply it to our lives, it's like looking in that mirror and going away and forgetting it. The strongholds is what causes us to forget it. They what cause us to say, I can't receive this truth. That's not who I am. And God wants to break those strongholds today. And God wants us to be able to look into the mirror of his word today, the truth, who he says we are, and to receive it and apply it and become doers of the word, put it into practice so that we outwork what he says. Because it's so easy to have someone prophesy over us or read something in the Bible and just go away and forget it. Jesus said a wise man builds his house on a rock. And that rock was actually acting on the word of God. Because he said, everyone's heard what I've said, but the wise man hears it and puts it into practice. The foolish man hears the same word and goes away and forgets it. It's like building his house on the sand. And when the troubles come, because they come, because we live in a world where there are troubles, whether we stand or fall depends on whether we put into practice what God said, what Jesus said about us. So it's really, really important that when we look into the mirror, that we don't just look and look away. We look into that mirror and we look intently. Because what we look at and what we gaze at, we can become. So it depends what you look at for long enough will determine what you become. And if you look at yourself and your situation and your circumstance, you keep looking at it and you don't look at it from God's perspective, you can be stuck there. But when we look at our situations from God's perspective, we can change, we can be transformed from one degree of glory to another. That is the desire of God. His very desire for us is that we are conformed to the image of his Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. His whole intention is that we would be transformed, conformed to the image of his Son, to be like Jesus. Because Jesus is the first fruit of many brothers. You know, Jesus doesn't want to be alone as the Son of God. He wants to have many brothers and sisters so that we're all children of God, we're all the family of God, we're all God's children who take on the family likeness and work in the family business. Because God's got a family business. It's a fishing business. It's about catching men. Jesus said to his disciples, you will become fishers of men. You will draw people to me. That's God's heart for all of us. You know, we can do everything better in heaven. We can worship better in heaven. We can have more intimacy better in heaven. The only thing we cannot do in heaven that we can do here on earth is lead people to Jesus and see salvation come and healing come and deliverance come into people's lives. That's why we're left here. Now I want to just pray, and I want to encourage you, just like Pete did, when he was there meditating on this scripture, he saw himself in the mirror. Now I want to encourage you just to open up your hearts, just find a place where you close your eyes and open up your hearts. And as I'm praying, I want to encourage you to see that mirror that's in front of you. And I want to encourage you to look into that mirror. And I want you to see the image that Jesus puts in that mirror for you. That might be an image that shows how he sees you. It may be an image that reflects how you see yourself. If you see an image of what Jesus is declaring you to be, who you are, your identity in God, I want to encourage you to embrace that image and pursue it. If you see an image that's how you think about yourself, then I want to encourage you to open up your heart and allow that stronghold to be demolished. If you need someone to pray with you to demolish that stronghold, I'd encourage you to come, and the people who this morning had prophetic words about this will pray with you. People who feel, yeah, I can stand in that place and pray, will pray with you. We need to see these chains broken. We need to see the lies defeated. We need to see the patterns of thinking that restrict us and hold us back, that keep us from our inheritance and keep us from the purpose of God. We need to see those things broken over our lives. Because what those things do, they fuel the thrones in the heavenly realms. That's what they do. They empower the enemy to keep us in that place because we agree with him. We have to stop agreeing with the enemy and start agreeing with God and what he says about us. So let's just get in that place. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, that you've provided for us a mirror, that we can see the reflection of who we are as your children. We can see the reflection of how we feel about ourselves. And Father, if those things don't line up and match up this morning, you've promised to come in power and to demolish the lies and the strongholds and the reflection which is not formed according to your image. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, just move amongst us in this room right now. Let your anointing, your presence and your power be here to demolish strongholds, to defeat lies, to speak the truth. We just open up our hearts, we open up our lives, our very souls to you this morning, and we ask that you'll come. Come, speak to us. Just let angels be released into this room to minister to us. Just pray right now. Just open up every heart here. Let them start to see themselves the way you see them. Special, unique, loved, accepted, affirmed, approved of. Given affection, given encouragement, given hope, faith, joy, peace. Let's release those gifts from you this morning into this room. That we would see ourselves with a crown, children of the King. That we would see ourselves with robes of righteousness, spotless and clean, washed in the blood of Jesus, every sin forgiven, every piece of guilt, shame and condemnation removed. That we would see in the mirror that we're given a cloak, a royal robe. Let's pray, minister the truth of your word to us this morning. Open up our hearts. Truly see who we really are in you. And Father, show us where our view of ourself does not line up with your truth. Show us the lies that we might believe, where we feel unworthy, where we feel guilty, where we might feel ashamed of our past, where we might feel condemned by what we've done, where we might feel rejected. We might feel that no one approves, no one affirms us, that we feel insecure in who we are. Lord, we confront those lies this morning with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the truth of your word. I speak out the truth of your word now, healing. I speak the truth of your word that we are loved. I speak the truth that we are accepted in Christ. Amen. I speak the truth of your word that we are affirmed as sons and daughters of the living God. Yes. I speak the truth of your word that we are approved of. Yes. You approve of us because we're your children. I speak out the truth of your word that we are accepted, loved, approved of and affirmed in our sonship, being sons and daughters of the living God. I speak the truth that we are a royal family, that we've been crowned with righteousness, crowned with peace, crowned with joy, crowned. I speak the truth of your word that we've been chosen specially, adopted into your family, where our past life has been blotted out by the blood of Jesus and our new life is being revealed. I speak the truth where the enemy will say that you are a failure, you failed continually, that you will never succeed. I speak the truth that says you are an overcomer. Yeah. You are more than a conqueror.
That's right.
That you have been chosen to succeed. Yeah. You have been chosen to prosper. To succeed to the highest level.
Amen.
Where the enemy speaks the lies and says that you're no good, that you'll never achieve anything. I speak the truth that you've been appointed and chosen to bear abundant fruit. That you've been chosen to succeed and prosper in the calling and destiny that you have in God. I speak out the truth that each person here has a destiny in God to fulfill. And you're empowered to fulfill that destiny. For those who might feel right now guilty, condemned, maybe you don't know Jesus, maybe you feel, I can't receive any of this stuff. Right now I just speak the words, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can get your life right with God. You can have a fresh start. You can have a new beginning. The slate can be wiped clean. So I just pray, Father, that you will release the anointing of your Spirit, that you will release thunderbolts from heaven to break those chains, to see that strongholds comes down. And I encourage you to start resonating your Spirit with the words that have been spoken this morning. Start to agree with those words of who God says you are. Start to speak to the mountains in your own life and say, I will not be restricted any longer. I will not be held back. I will not be bound and chained to my past.
Yes.
Father, just continue to give us those revelations of who we are. You can see in that mirror the truth, who you call us to be. Pray, continue to demolish strongholds. There are people here who have strongholds, you feel insecure, you never feel good enough, and God says it's time to change. It's time for those strongholds to come down, because you are a mighty conqueror in God. Let's just wait in the presence of God. Just pray, Holy Spirit, just continue ministering into our hearts and into our lives. Continue to heal and to restore and to make us whole. Continue to release the anointing that breaks yokes, destroys burdens. Jesus says this morning, all those who are weary and heavy laden, you've been carrying these weights, these lies, these strongholds for so long. Now it's time to come to me, Jesus says, and find rest. Find peace. Find restoration. Find healing. Just come to Jesus. He's here. His presence is here. His Holy Spirit's here. His angels are here. His heavenly host is here to stand with you. If you need someone to pray with you, if you've identified, yeah, I struggle to accept the truth, I struggle to believe what God says about me, I struggle to believe what other people say about me when they talk about good things, I'd encourage you to come and ask someone to pray with you, to minister into that, to stand with you, and to see those strongholds demolished. Bless you, Lord. I encourage you just to wait in the presence of God. Don't rush away. Allow Jesus to speak to you. You know, God opened up the heaven and he spoke over his son Jesus and he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And God is opening up the heavens over this room this morning, the heavens over your life this morning, and he would speak over each of you. And he would say, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." Yes. I want you to receive that word. Let that word just take root in your heart. Let it be the truth that sets you free. You are my sons, you are my daughters, and I'm really pleased because I love you, I accept you, I've got a future and a hope for you. Just keep gazing into the mirror of my truth, of my word, and be changed from one degree of glory to another, to be transformed into the image of my son. Encourage you, if you do want someone to pray with you, just come over here, because it's like, I think it's really important, if you feel I need a breakthrough, that you enable that to happen today.